Daniel 3 on Through the Word. And today, a question. What does it take to stand up for God when everyone else caves in? And if you do stand for God, will He keep you out of the fire? It is the powerful and amazing story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's also a Sunday school classic. So if you've heard this one since you were little, if you're already singing the bunny song from Mr. Nezzer's Chocolate Factory, try to come at this with a fresh look. After all, you may know how it ends, but our heroes did not. For them, this was real life. The story begins in verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. Now, the word image here means statue, and 60 cubits means 90 feet tall, a 9-story tower of a statue made of gold. Now, even if only the outer layer was gold, that's a lot of gold. Why on earth would Nebuchadnezzar put that much gold into a statue? Well, because he could. After conquering all those kingdoms, he had the gold. But I think there's more going on here. Think back to chapter 2. Remember the troubling dream, the great big statue representing several kingdoms made of several metals. Remember that the head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. And then Daniel said, "After you." Now, Nebi didn't gripe right away, but methinks that started to get to him. And now, funny coincidence, Nebi makes a statue 9 stories high, with gold top to bottom. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar is saying, "Me forever." But for our heroes, this will soon be a problem. And this challenge is at the heart of the book, and of our lives too. In the prophecy, the kingdoms of man come and go, and the kingdom of God stands forever. But the great question is how to live as a citizen of God's kingdom while stuck here in man's kingdom, especially when the men in charge don't care too much for God's rules. Now, in verse 2, he summons all of the satraps, prefects, governors, basically anyone who works in his government, all captured from nations across the map, which includes Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, we don't know why, but Daniel was not included. It's a bit of a mystery. The big crowd of officials gather, and in verse 4, a herald proclaims, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. So, when the music plays, everyone must bow or burn in the furnace." Now, there are two important things to watch here. There's the image and there's music. It might strike you as odd that the statue is called an image, but the word choice is important. It was the second commandment, before murder and theft, that God forbade graven images. So why are images of God such a big deal? Well, I think the big deal is that God already made something in His image. Genesis 1, God made mankind, male and female, in His image. That means that we are a reflection of His nature. Now, that reflection was broken at the curse to an extent, and Jesus came to restore it. But I think that the problem with a graven image is instead of God making mankind, man makes God. And that reversal changes everything. It degenerates us, corrupts our view of God, and in turn, our view of self. It's just as true today. Anytime you replace God with your own construct, your own idea, and worship creation rather than Creator, it degrades you. Your worth as a man, as a woman, made in His image, is corrupted. Now, back in the story, our heroes know God's rule. They're committed to it, but it won't be easy. And what about the music? Look at verses 5 and 7. A huge emphasis is placed on the music. When the music starts, everyone bow down. That's not a coincidence. There seems to be an inherent connection between music and worship. Worshipping God or worshipping idols, both come with music. Now, don't worry. I'm not going to get all anti-secular music or anti-rock and roll. I still love music. But I don't take it lightly anymore. There is a power in music, something deeper than rhythm and lyric. I remember when I was a teenager, Aerosmith, AC/DC, Iron Maiden, I just connected. I mean, I defined myself by the music I listened to. A lot of us do. Now, here's the funny thing. The stuff they sang about, I really didn't care. 80s metal bands were always about Satan, and to me it was just goofy stuff. But I sang it loud and clear. I knew every word. Now, if you had just spoken the lyrics to me, there's no way I would have repeated it. But with the music, I let it go straight in, and I knew it by heart. Now, I'm not saying that I turned into a Satanist, but I am saying that in a lot of ways, music was an idol. For me, at least, it was a replacement for God. And I'm convinced that words matter. Now, some wisdom is required here, and some balance, too. Don't go all crazy anti-music on me, but do be wise and be aware. Music is powerful. Now, back in our story, the music plays, the people bow down, but just three are left standing in a massive crowd. That takes guts. But think about where they got those guts. Back in chapter 1, when they were teenagers, they took a stand, purposed their hearts to do right by God. Now, it was just a food choice, and maybe no one even cared or saw. But that decision set their heart, and it stuck. Now they are men, and still taking a stand for God. Now, you and I might be impressed, but Nebuchadnezzar isn't happy. In verse 13, he is furious with rage. The three are brought to him, and he challenges them again. When you hear the music, fall down and worship, or get thrown into the furnace. And watch his words. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? And watch verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Wow, that is some faith. Even if God doesn't save us, we're still devoted. But think about it. If they're so full of faith, why not just believe that God will rescue them? Why not name it and claim it? The problem with that sort of thinking is a confusion between faith and belief. See, simple belief might say, he is able, he is good, I'm his favorite, so he must get me out of this. But faith is more than simply believing that God is able. Faith is trusting that God is faithful, whether or not he does what I want him to. Wholehearted faith doesn't demand from God, it trusts God. See, demanding asks for God's power and my plan, God's providence and my purpose. But our boys trust in God's purpose. And what happens? The furnace is stoked 7 times hotter. The boys are bound up and thrown into the massive blaze. Verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. I love this story. The men trust. They take their stand. They still get tossed in the fire. But there in the fire, the ropes that bound them burn off. And who stands there with them but one who looks like the son of the gods? I am convinced, though I can't prove it, that there in the fire stood Jesus with his faithful servants. When you take a stand for God, don't expect it to be easy. Don't expect to stay out of the fire. But do expect that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And there in the fire, you will know his presence more than ever. And the only thing that will truly burn up are the ropes of doubt that bound you. Read Daniel 3. Take your stand. Learn to trust, and find Jesus there in the fire with you.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.